The grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. Amen. Our text for consideration this evening is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We read, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This is the word of the Lord. Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, again, so good to have all of you here tonight. So you are my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And just your presence encourages me. And just to hear how we confess our faith together encourages me. We believe in the same God. Now, just a couple questions for all of you tonight. If you had the choice, would you type out a research paper or term paper with a typewriter or with a computer? Of course, a computer, right? A typewriter? I don't think my children would even understand what a typewriter is. What is this, ribbon you have to put in? And if you make mistakes, you have to get liquid paper? What is all that about? I can remember way back in high school where if you had three or four mistakes on your research paper, on one page, you had to type that page over once again. Thank the Lord for a computer. I don't have to type out all the quotes. I don't have to type out all the scripture lessons. I can just go to BibleGateway.com and put it right there, cut and paste, and there it is on the paper. Computer is far superior than a typewriter. Or how about this? I'm sure that all of us here are popcorn lovers, right? If you had the choice, would you make your own popcorn in a popcorn maker, or would you just throw a bag into the microwave, that microwave popcorn? How many of us eat microwave popcorn? Raise your hand. How many of us eat the old-fashioned way yet? A few of you. Get with the program. By far the superior way, though, is the microwave popcorn, because you don't have to take the time. You can just throw it in and hit the button, popcorn, and there it is. Or how about this? How many of you would like to call your spouse using your cell phone or stopping and find a payphone? How many is the last time we've actually used a payphone? Probably haven't for a long time. And if we don't have our cell phone, we ask someone else, "Hey, can I use your cell phone?" What is a payphone anyways? Why do you have to put money in that, my kids would probably ask. Again, a cell phone is far superior than a payphone. And for all teenagers out there, you used to have these things called cassette players. And before that, record players. Would you rather have 400 to 500 record players, a couple thousand songs on, and it just would take up half your living room? Or would you rather have an iPod for all those who are older? You can fit all those records you had within the palm of your hand. It's a jukebox, more or less, in your hand. And you can just go to the next song just like that. If you had the choice, what would you rather listen to? I don't know about you, but an iPod, because it's superior. We make these decisions all the time. What's better for me? We always are looking to improve how we live, right? But when it comes to our salvation, why do we go backwards? Because there's no need for improvement, because Jesus has done it all for us. I'm not here again proclaiming a process of how to be saved tonight. I'm here to proclaim we have been saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are no strings attached. But why do we find ourselves saying, "Well, I'd rather go back into work righteousness instead. I'd rather look at my life, and the reason I'm going to heaven is because I've let it. No, we're not going to heaven because of the life we lead. We're going to heaven because of the life he has led for us. That is where our comfort is. Jesus, our great high priest, went through all the temptations for us, and he aced all those temptations, and we get the credit. What we have here tonight is superior than anything else, I would say, in this entire community. Because you know what? A lot of churches, not only in our community, but throughout America, are still teaching work righteousness. Yes, they might have the same terminology as we do. They talk about Jesus a lot. They talk about the life you can live and so on and so forth. But it's always pointing to you. Listen to those TV evangelists. It's up to you. You can, you can, you can. You can, you can, you can. And you know what I say here tonight? You can't. But he did. That is our joy. So if you ever question your salvation, don't look at your life. If you question your salvation, look at his life. He's done it all. I'm sure that all of us have had our children maybe in sporting events, and I think we take a lot of pleasure when our kids get on that field of competition or court of competition. And there's no better feeling in the world when you see your son score the winning basket at the buzzer. No better feeling than that. There's no better feeling to see your daughter continuously hit three-pointer after three-pointer again and again. Where did that come from? Obviously not me. Or there's no better feeling than to see your son totally lay out the quarterback. Dad, I think I made him cry. Great, that's okay, that's good. You know, my littlest guy, that's great. No better feeling, right? Well, let me just rephrase that. Maybe let me tone it down. No better feeling. No, there is a better feeling out there. That's to see our King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, get himself battle ready to fight the battle we could never have won. There's no better feeling to see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, place himself on that field of battle with the devil himself and totally annihilate him. Completely annihilate him. That is our King. That is the God we worship here tonight. And as we sometimes live through our children, our childhoods through our children once again, may we continue to live through our Savior who has given us the victory. And may we continue to replay that victory that he's won for us when he died on that cross. Now, I'm sure that all of us are familiar with, you know, what happens when a wide receiver scores a touchdown, unless you're a Viking fan. Maybe you don't know. I know that there's a couple of Viking fans here. But what happens, right? The wide receiver catches the touchdown and then does his touchdown dance. And then, if you're at Lambeau, races into the Lambeau leap and into the crowd. And then, usually we always see the wide receivers or the running back kind of just acknowledge, to you be the glory, or thank you, God, right? We see that all the time. Well, much the same way, our gospel lesson for today shows us how Jesus scored three consecutive touchdowns on the devil in our place. And then soon we will, on Good Friday, see when, you know, Jesus put the dagger through the devil's heart, now and forever, when he died on the cross, and when he did his victory touchdown dance in hell, saying, I have won, I have defeated, they're no longer coming here, they belong to me. And then when he jumped into the stands on that Easter morning, when he rose from the dead to say to all of us, all is done, I've won it all, and here you go. Not only does he point to his Father and say, I've done this to you, Father, to obey your Father's, to obey my Father's will, but I have also done this as he points down to us, for you. He did all this for us. So where's the jumping up and down? We won. The victory is ours. Where's the pointing our index finger and saying we are number one because what Jesus has done for us? Where is it? You know, let's just say that the Packers had made it to the Super Bowl this last year. And let's just say that Aaron Rodgers did everything for the Packers to win the Super Bowl this year. And when the last second of that Super Bowl goes off and the Packers win once again, do you think Mason Crosby would have charged the field? Do you think Mason Crosby, who didn't really do much at all this year, do you think he'd be jumping up and down? Do you think Mason Crosby would have gotten a Super Bowl ring? Yes, he would have, because he is a part of the team. We're part of the Jesus team. The only difference is Aaron Rodgers might be the most valuable player when it comes to winning a Super Bowl, and everyone benefits from his victory. But Jesus isn't our MVP. He is the OP, the only player when it comes to our salvation. He did it all for us. And he gives us all the crown, everlasting crown of eternal life, because of the victory that he has won for us. So why isn't there any charging onto the field, which is the world? Why aren't we jumping up and down? Has the devil tempted you into playing another quarter in your salvation? What I mean is this. How foolish it would be, right, for the 49ers to play another quarter after the fourth quarter, this last Super Bowl. The Ravens had said, hey, let's just play this fifth quarter just for fun because all these people paid so much money to watch us play. Let's just play another quarter. It's not going to count for anything. And let's say, you know, the 49ers just totally, you know, annihilated, okay, the Ravens in that fifth quarter. Even though it didn't count for anything, I'm sure the Ravens would say, well, maybe the best team didn't win. Maybe we just got lucky. And see, that's what the devil does to us. The victory is ours, but he says, oh, just come on, it's really still up to you. You still have to do something. And this is where we have to answer and say, no, I'm not playing that game. Salvation is mine. It belongs to me. Don't play the fifth quarter with the devil because he's not playing just for fun. He's playing for keeps. And the only thing he needs you to do is to doubt that it's all been done for you. That's how he defeats us. Did Jesus really pay for all of your sins? Did he? And I pray we all say, yes, he has. But if we doubt just a little, we can be excluded. But know this, Jesus has forgiven us our doubt, and we're here to, again, build our faith. Now, our text tells us about our great high priest. It goes on to say, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Now, we don't just have a high priest. We have the great high priest. Back in the Old Testament, there's a lot of high priests that always went into the Holy of Holies, and they had to wash themselves, and they could only go in that Holy of Holies once a year, and they had to go through this curtain, and they had to purify themselves. And this sacrifice that they would give was just really symbolic, and it didn't really count for anything. It just reminded the people of all their sins. But we have the great high priest, Jesus, who went, not purifying himself, because he was himself pure, and he paid for the sins of the entire world with his precious blood. And that curtain has been ripped in two. At one point, God was here and we were here, and this big wall called sin was in between us. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said, it is finished, what happened to that curtain? It was severed in two. That means that we have been atoned for. We are now at one with God. And see, the Jews of the New Testament, they start to fall back into Judaism. And that's why the author of the Hebrews and to the Hebrews, said, don't go back. Jesus and his salvation is far superior. And no, we're not slipping back into Judaism here, but we can slip back into work righteousness. Let's not go there. Why did Jesus come into this world? To pay for all of our sins. If it was still up to us, what kind of Savior would that be? And if we could get to heaven by our works, then why did God send us his only Son? Because there was no other way, and Jesus has come, and he's delivered victory for all of us. You know, there are only really two religions in this whole world. What religion? I don't even like calling Christianity a religion. It's the truth. But there's really only two religions. We can just name a whole bunch of them right now, okay? Shintoism, okay, that's in Japan. Buddhism, you know, in China. We could even say Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and all those, and you can just name all the different religions. You can put them all in this one camp, work righteousness. If you want to get to heaven, or if you want to get to the next place, it's up to you. But Christianity says, it's not up to you, but it's been done for you. That is why Jesus is our great high priest, the great high priest. He offers something uniquely different, a salvation that is free to us. And it's not up to us. But do you know another reason why Jesus is our great high priest? Because he understands. He understands what you're going through. He understands the temptations that you are going through. He understands what you need when, again, the devil has you down in a chokehold. He knows what you need. He understands. That's why our text goes on to say, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Do I know what you're going through? Whatever that might be? No. But I know someone who does. Jesus does. As much as I would like to have a magical wand to take away all your hardships and problems, I don't have a magical wand. But I know someone who does. And that is Jesus. You know what he says to us in his sweet whispering voice? He says this to you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He calls out to us and he commands us, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You will honor me. So not only is our great high priest so great because of the free salvation he offers to us, the reason he's so great is he's approachable. He doesn't sit there and say, well, what's his problem? He knows exactly what your problem is. He's been through that problem, but he was victorious in that problem. And he helps us through our hardships, whatever they might be. And that is why my prayer for all of you tonight is, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can approach our King with confidence because he has washed us clean, and we can approach our King in confidence because we know that he understands. Dear friends, remember that the victory is ours in Jesus Christ. Going to the field of competition or the court of competition, what annoys me the most is sometimes the refs and the bad calls that they make. Know this, the devil still has his annoying refs in your life. And they're always calling you for fouls. Look at what you've done. This is wrong. But again, I throw the red flag out. I want to challenge that. And when the devil says, look at what you've done, then you point to the devil and say, but look at what he's done. The victory belongs to me. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure that all of us, those of us who have kids, we always like to kind of maybe coach from the stands sometimes. Why is he doing that again? I told him, you know, fake the three-pointer and then go in for the nice layup, but he doesn't do that. I look at myself as a coach of yours. I see a lot of you with the same mistakes again and again. And it really hurts me because, you know what, the opposing team, the devil, is always sitting there flaunting you, showing your sins. So as your coach, I'm not going to call the game plan or the new call of like Wisconsin, run the Wisconsin or run Indiana. What I call you to do is this game plan, Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith. And when the devil tempts you, remember one little word can fell him, and he runs away. That word is Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.